you know, when you get in here to minister, there's, you know, you believe for that anointing to come on you because you sure don't want to do it yourself. And that was interesting. In the middle of the first song, I actually tangibly felt it drop on me. Praise God. I've never felt that during worship. I've been in preaching before where it's almost like in the spirit you feel yourself like stepping into it and you know you've entered into it, but it happened while I was preaching or singing. Praise God. And so he's here. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and also I just want to make mention of this because we're a faith church and might not be preaching specifically on faith tonight, but you know that song says, no matter the storms, no matter the trials, I will sing praise to you, right? If you can't praise in the trial and in the storm, you're not in faith.
That's right. That's good.
The voice of faith is praise.
Amen.
Faith has a voice. It's called praise. Amen?
Amen?
And if you can't worship God during the tough times, if you can't magnify God during the tough times, you're not in faith. And that's a problem because if you're not in faith, you're not in line for victory. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen?
Amen?
That's why we sing that song. No matter the storms, no matter the trials, we're going to worship you, God, because we believe you that it's going to turn out. That's why I said, you know, if you can't rejoice when you say the money's coming, you don't really believe it's coming because I'm excited that the money's coming. You know, when I hang up from Cabela's and the order's on its way, I'm giddy, man. I'm like, I placed the order. It's mine. I got a confirmation number. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when I look online there, you know, and I just shut the computer without ordering anything, I'm not as giddy. Why? I don't believe anything's coming. I didn't order anything. But when I speak my words out there, I know my Bible says that I'll have what I say. And so if I believe it's coming, man, faith not only has a voice, it's called praise, but faith has actions with it too.
Amen.
It's called smiling.
Good.
It's called rejoicing.
Amen.
I'm serious. See, it doesn't take faith to praise when the money's there. It doesn't take, it's easy to praise when the healing is all there, when everything's good and every relationship is good and everything on the outside's looking good. That doesn't take faith. You want to be a faith champion? You praise when the devil's in your face. When the money's not there, when the tests are there, when the trials are there, and you can still rejoice, that's a faith giant. That's somebody that says, I don't walk by how I feel. I don't walk by what I see. Praise God. And until you can cross over into that realm, man, victory will be far from you. Amen. So, whatever. That needed to be said, and it was said. So I guess we said it. Blame Jesus. The anointing dropped. I'm telling you, we're in for a good one. Proverbs 10:22. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're grateful and thankful for all that you've given to us, all that you've provided for us. And Lord, we're just honored to be in church. We're so thankful. And Father, help us tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're going to help me tonight. I need your help, Father. For you're the vine, I'm just a branch. And Lord, I don't claim to want to even try to do this on my own. So thank you for your help. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you that we're going to hit the mark here tonight, Father. We're going to be changed. We're going to be thankful we came to church on a Wednesday. While, you know, midweek services, Father, I don't just mean this church, but around the country, the trend is that in the midweek service, attendance can fall off, and that's fine, but we're here tonight. And so, Father, we thank you we're going to be blessed. We're thankful that we're going to hear from heaven tonight. This is our appointment with you. We take it seriously. We're on the edge of our spiritual seats. This is not some ho-hum, mundane service, repetitive, this is what we do on a Wednesday night, let's go so pastor can see my face and think I'm faithful. No, we're here to hear from you, Father. This is the real deal tonight, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
You know, faith will give your body and your mind a talking to. Especially on a Wednesday night service when you've worked all day or you have things to do or things to go home and your body doesn't feel like being here, man, your spirit wouldn't rather be anywhere else than in the presence of Jesus here in the Word. So just give yourself a talking to, right?
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, faith doesn't walk by how it feels. We need to get a hold of that. Faith doesn't walk by what it sees. Faith doesn't walk by what it hears. Faith walks by what it knows.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Just trying to stir the pot up here tonight. We got some crusty broccoli cheese soup out there.
Yeah,
you know, it just sits on the stovetop, not stirred, and just trying to stir it up a little bit. Praise God. Proverbs 10 and verse 22. You know, the person, I don't know, just can't get off this right now, but the person that's mad and upset and offended, the faith message ticks them off.
Yeah, come on.
Because faith doesn't allow you to be that way.
Come
on now, get happy. You might as well get happy. You're going to have to put up with me for a little while. Just get happy, right? Faith doesn't allow grumpiness. Faith doesn't allow offense. Faith doesn't allow downness. Faith doesn't allow discouragement. Faith doesn't allow worry, doubt, and unbelief. And so if you're in any of those things, the faith message will tick those things off. Well, tick them off and push them out. They're not supposed to be there anyways. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 10. Aren't you glad you have Pastor? Just, what am I doing? I'm sticking the spiritual cattle prod in you, just burning you and making you, woo, jump and get on fire. Praise God. I'm going to be that annoying little voice in your life until you leave this church, which I hope is never, until Jesus comes back, just encouraging you to be a faith person.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not backing off the things of God. But anyways, Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says this, the blessing of the Lord. All right. The blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. Praise God. And he addeth no sorrow with it. God's way is best. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's way is blessing included in God's way. And when people get off of God's way is when the Bible says sorrow comes with God's way. Do things their own way financially. Do things their own way at their jobs, do things their own way raising their kids, do things their own way with relationships. That's when sorrow comes in. But if you'll stick with God's way, the Bible says it will make you rich. Now, we think of that word rich and we think money instantly, you know, and that's used that in that connotation. But, man, I'll tell you what, I want to be rich physically. I want to be rich emotionally. I want to be rich mentally. I want to be rich in my relationships. I want to be rich with my children. I want to be rich in protection. I want to be rich in favor. Amen? Amen? Well, the Bible says that God's way or God's blessing makes you that way. Hallelujah. Makes you rich. Praise God. So, it'll do you good to do it His way, right? Well, then now, with that in mind, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans 8, 14. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh one rich in all areas. Aren't you glad He doesn't leave any area out?
Amen.
I mean, seriously, how good is He to not leave any area out? Whatever you need, He'll get it for you. He'll make it come to pass, praise God, if you'll give Him your faith. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So now look at this. It says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself, it should say, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So in 14, it says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Bible tells us how God leads in verse 14. But then in verse 16, it even breaks it down more and tells you more specifically how that's done. The Spirit Himself, see, you have not only your spirit, the inward man, the real you on the inside, but you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. And the way that God leads you by the Spirit is He, His Spirit, talks to your spirit and tells your spirit, and then it's enlightened unto you. Now, Sue, would you please go back to verse 14? It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So now let's connect the dots here. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord, or you could say it this way, the blessing of God, doing things God's way, hooking up with Him, maketh one rich, or adds increase into your life, or adds benefit, or adds blessing into your life, and addeth no sorrow. So if that's true, and that's the way it is, and it is, if that's God's blessing, and we've talked about being on God's path and being on God's plan, to get into God's blessings, well, we have to be led into God's blessings, right? You have to be guided into God's blessings. Well, in verse 14, he tells us how. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, right? Well, where would God lead you? Into the blessing. Because the blessing of Him makes you rich. So where's God going to lead you? Into His blessing. How's He going to do that? By your spirit.
Praise God.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. You could say it this way. For as many that will be led by the Spirit of God or do things God's way, allow God to lead them, they will walk into that blessing that will make them rich. Because if, and then in verse 16 it tells us, we don't have to turn there, but in verse 16 it tells us how. It says the Spirit Himself will bear witness or talk to our spirit. Well, what's the Spirit going to talk to our spirit about? How to get in the blessing. How to increase in all areas of our lives. How to be blessed in every area of our life. How to be led into the right job. How to be led into the right spouse. How to be led into the right college. How to be led in the right career. How to be led buying the right home, buying the right car, making the right decisions, right? What to avoid, what not to avoid. So, if we want to experience true prosperity, and I mean every area of our life, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, you're going to have to learn to live out of here and not out of here or out of here, the body. It's true. He doesn't say that I'm leading you through your flesh. He doesn't say that I'm leading you through your mind. He says the way that I do things and the way I do things is to lead you into the blessing that will make you rich. I'm going to lead you only in the arena of your spirit man, the real man on the inside of you. Praise God. So we better learn, and this is really a conundrum for a lot of people because a lot of people have no idea that God is speaking to them in here. They're constantly looking for answers outside. They're constantly doing pro and con lists. They're constantly debating and constantly weighing the options. When the answer's on the inside the whole time, God will lead you by your spirit if you'll let Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God is not, you know, it's interesting when I've been looking into, you know, different hunts and different things and just calling certain people. And the one thing, in reading different forums online at times, and the one thing that they stress is that when you go to a place, one of the biggest frustrations for the owners or the guides is when the clients try to guide the guide. Where one gentleman was telling me how, this was at in Montana. Montana Whitetails is the place. The gentleman was telling me about one client he had in, that it's a six-day hunt. And he told him, he said, sit here all week long. He said, if you'll sit here, by the end of the week, you'll have an opportunity at a nice deer. Now, I can't make the shot for you, but I know, I've scouted, I've spent time here, I can get you there. And, well, the guy sat there for 5 days and, you know, saw some out in the distance and, you know, only had real small ones or does near him. And, you know, he paid for a hunt, and it's fair chase, so there's no guarantee. But the guide said, listen, I'm confident if you'll sit here all day. Well, the fifth day came and he sat there all day, didn't see anything. So he went back to the lodge. And he said, listen, I want to move. And the guide said, you know, I don't recommend that. He said, well, I only got 1 day left, and I've sat here for 5 days. I want to try a different spot. I'm getting sick of looking at the same thing. And the guide said, well, did you come here to look at scenery or to kill a deer? I said, I came to kill a deer, but 5 days I am not killing a deer. He said, I want to move. He said, okay. He said, he paid the money, right? He's the client. He's the customer. We're going to do what the customer wants. So he moved him, and he put another guy in his spot. Well, guess who killed the deer? The other guy. If he would have been sitting in that spot, we'll see that guide is not going to force people. They paid for it, right? Well, it's the same way. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He'll lead you, but he's not going to force you. If you want to live out of your mind, see, when it comes to following the Holy Ghost, there's a submission to it. Being open to following the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you'll learn, see, it's crazy that Christians constantly fall into pitfalls and constantly fall into traps, constantly fall into wrong decision after wrong decision, crisis after crisis, chaos after chaos. It shouldn't be so. We have a guide that's supposed to lead us from doing all those things. Well, some people just don't learn to listen or don't take time to develop their spirit or to hear from God. Most people, let's face it, spend most time in the carnal realm. They give a lot of activity to the carnal realm. You know, busy, 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 natural, 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 feeding the flesh, feeding the flesh, feeding the flesh, or it's intellectual, just constantly back and forth ping pong match in your head about things. And the whole time the answer was in here, but the spirit man's just crying out and nobody can hear him because the outside is so loud. The mental arena is so loud. But see, we better learn to get into the fullness of the blessing. God's not going to bypass his word and just lead you because you're carnal and lead you by your flesh. He's not going to just lead you by your mind because you're more comfortable in your mind. I'll tell you what, I've had the worst time helping people receive from God who are the smartest naturally, who have the highest education, who are in jobs that not everybody can do, that are specialized jobs, that they've had many years of education. They're the hardest ones to get to listen and to learn from God because they're so mentally, that's the realm that they're comfortable in. Well, you can stay comfortable in that realm, and stay comfortable in that realm, but you're going to miss out because God's not leading you there. He's leading you from your spirit, man. Praise God. So I'm going to help you in an area of learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, because if we can develop some of these ways, this is one of the main ways that the Holy Ghost has talked to me in my life, talked to Brother Hagin in his life, talked to Pastor Nancy in her life, talked to Pastor Michael in his life. How do I know? I've talked to these people and I've heard Brother Hagin preach it before. That the one of the main ways that the Holy Ghost will speak to you about certain things to do, certain things not to do, certain things that are up ahead, certain things to start believing God for by this way. So, you ready? Go with me to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20, the Bible says we have a treasure in earthen vessels. You know what that treasure is? The Holy Ghost. Amen. What's the earthen vessel? Your body. Let's have some common sense here tonight. Think about this now. This will blow your mind if you really think about it. You have God inside you. Amen. Now, most people have failed to understand that and take advantage of that fully. I'm me included. I've not gotten to the fullness of that by any means. But think about it now. You have God inside you. Now, what does that mean? You have the one who loves you the most, who's for you more than anybody living on the inside of you. Okay, that's good. But take it a step further. You have the one who knows what's behind every door, behind every corner, what every trap that's set for you, what every wrong financial move would be, every wrong relationship move. You have him on the inside of you. So common sense would say there's no reason why we ought not to be the most successful, victorious, prosperous people on the planet.
Amen. That's good.
I've talked to people, financial testimonies, who got doing things their own way, maybe got into fear, got into some worry, did things their own way and struggled. But then they endeavored to say, listen, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm not going to worry about what they're saying on the news or what they're saying in the Wall Street Journal or the financial and the fiscal reports. I'm going to find out what the Holy Ghost is saying, obey the Holy Ghost, and it always turned into prosperity. It always turned into increase. We ought never have a bad investment.
That's good.
In any area of our life. A bad job decision, a bad purchase on a vehicle, buy a lemon. We ought to avoid the lemons.
Yeah, that's good.
Why? We have the one who knows what the lemons are. We have the one that knows what the financial problems and the wrong investments are. What the wrong decision would be in a relationship. That's why I talk about relationships. Who gives a rip if they're handsome or pretty? What is the Holy Ghost saying? He can see past the handsome. He can see past the pretty. Praise God. He can see past the smooth talking and everything. And what's the real deal? People need to learn to live out of their hearts. Why? Because that's where God's leading you. That's where he dwells. That's where he's leading you. So Proverbs 20, verse 27, it's important that you understand this. It says, the spirit of man. Everybody say the spirit of man.
Spirit.
The spirit of man. Now notice this. Is the candle of the Lord. Now before I read the rest of that verse, we don't use candles like they used candles back then, but we could say it this way. Flashlight. Right? Or you could say light bulb. Well, what does a flashlight or a light bulb do? It sheds light on a situation, tells you where to go, directs you where to go, so you don't stumble, bump into things, trip and fall, go into wrong places, fall down the stairs because you didn't know they were there. That's what a flashlight or a light does for you. If we turned all the lights off in here, you know, we'd have very little natural light maybe coming through the cracks, but it would be awfully hard to see. I would trust that if we just kept all the lights off in here and I said, no, let's get up and greet one another, man, we'd be conking heads. Why? Because the light bulb keeps us from conking heads.
Yeah,
absolutely. And he said here that the spirit of man is the light bulb for your life. What's he saying? How is he going to lead you and guide you? Through your spirit, man. Amen. Not your body, not your mind. But notice this, he said, searching all the inward parts of the belly, so it shows us where that spirit man's located, and it's important that you understand this for where we're going tonight. That inward witness, that consciousness, that gut feeling that people are familiar with, that's how God is leading you by the Holy Ghost. So let's go to John 7 and verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. Praise God. Jesus, face to face, told Brother Hagin, if you will learn to follow my spirit, I will make you rich. Well, that goes along with Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. Why? Because that's where God's leading you. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the things that are available to you that you'll never walk into if you don't learn to follow the Holy Ghost, and the things that you'll be able to avoid if you learn to follow the Holy Ghost, the good things that you'll be able to walk into if you'll take this seriously and learn to hear from heaven and learn how God's leading you and learn to be obedient to that inward witness. Oh, I can't tell you what an absolute blessing it's been to know that I have the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, but to learn to hear His voice.
Amen.
Saves you from a whole lot of messes.
Sure.
A whole lot of messes. John 7, in verse 37, he said, in that the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now notice this. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his what? Belly. Well, didn't we just see that word belly?
Yeah.
I like the word belly. It's a neat word. It just flows off your lips, doesn't it? Belly. Well, he said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the
belly.
Well, now it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. Well, what is the belly region? The spirit man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So now he says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, go to verse 39. He tells us. But this he spake of the spirit. Well, where's the spirit? The belly. So he said, out of a person's belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake concerning the Spirit. Now, the rest of the verse, to understand fully what he meant, you have to look at the rest of the verse. Which they that believe on him should receive. When he spoke this, they couldn't receive it yet because the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So now follow me and connect the dots here. He said that when the Holy Ghost was given, out of a person's belly would flow rivers of living water, but not until the Holy Ghost was given. So we need to find out when and what happened and what was the big deal when the Holy Ghost was given to find out when this rivers of living water can start flowing forth. So now go with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we're going to find out, what is this rivers of living water? He said you can't receive it until the Holy Ghost was given. Well, when he spoke it, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Holy Ghost was not yet given until the day of Pentecost, found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. It said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now notice this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember it said that the Spirit will give our spirit, it'll bear witness. Well, now it says that the Spirit will give our spirit utterance, and out of us will flow unknown tongues. So Jesus said in John 7 that in that great day, that last day of the feast, he cried and said, if any man believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which was not yet given, for yet Jesus had not yet been glorified. They that receive it should have this happen. So he's saying that out of the belly will flow rivers of living water when the Holy Ghost was given. So the Holy Ghost was given here, right? So we see then the out of someone's belly flows rivers of living water. Now what happened here? So when the Holy Ghost is given, the Bible says the result of that will be out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. Well, what happened that day? Did all of a sudden their bellies open up and water started pouring out of their bellies? No, but something did start pouring out of them that had never been before heard on planet Earth. What out of their belly, the Spirit gave them utterance, and out of their belly welled up like a river, and it came out of their mouth in the form of what? Unknown tongues. Amen. What is the rivers of living water he's talking about? Speaking in tongues. Now here's what you have to understand. He said it, to fully understand this, you have to get a grip on John 7, 37 and 38. That when the Holy Ghost is given, the result would be out of a person's belly would flow rivers of living water. So this day, the Holy Ghost was given. The only thing that flowed out of them was unknown tongues. Unknown tongues is the rivers of living water that Jesus was talking about. And he also confirmed it in Mark chapter 16. He said, they that believe shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Praise God. Now, what you have to understand, because some people will say, well, when the Holy Ghost is given, it doesn't necessarily mean or have to mean that you speak in tongues. But see, you can't separate being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues, because Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost is given and when one receives it, the automatic response is, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. And we see here in Acts chapter 2 that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says, and. Filled and. What does it mean? They're connected together.
That's right. Amen.
Not filled and then a separate thing. No, filled and. It's one fluid thing. One fluid thing. When you're filled, something happens when you're filled.
Amen.
Yeah. What's the result? And began to speak. Filled and began to speak. Praise God. Now, before we go forward, it's important that you get this, especially if you're here and you don't pray in tongues. It's important because I'm going to tell you in a second how important it is that rivers of living water flow from you.
That's right. Amen.
You know why they have problems in California? Because of droughts. There's no water. Things are drying up. No water, things dry up. Why are Christians having trouble? They don't have rivers of living water going to things in their life. They don't. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I'll tell you what, let me just say it this way. Life's a lot harder for the Christian who doesn't pray in tongues than the Christian who prays in tongues. And I'll prove it by the word tonight. Don't get mad at me. Say, well, does that mean I'm less? No, it doesn't mean you're less. Doesn't mean you're less loved. Doesn't mean you're not heaven bound. You're just as heaven bound as a tongue talker. But life will be different for you.
Amen.
How do I know? I've been on both sides of the fence. Yeah. Praise God. It just seemed like on the other side that there's just something I was missing out on, something more with God. And there was. And the Bible tells us that. We'll look at that. But go to Acts 10 and verse 46. Because we like being filled with the Holy Ghost, but a lot of times people want to leave out the tongues business, but you can't. You can't leave out the tongues business. They go together. They're hooked together. Praise God. Acts 10 and verse 46. Look at this. Or no, I'm sorry. Go to verse 44. 46, we wouldn't have the context. So notice this. Remember what Jesus said. When the Holy Ghost is given, what's the result? Out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. We saw the Holy Ghost given in Acts chapter 2. What happened? Out of their belly flowed rivers of living water in the forms of an unknown tongue. Well, look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So guess what? John 7, 37 and 38 happened. They received the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say would happen when you receive the Holy Spirit? Out of their belly would flow rivers of living water. Well, let's find out. Whilst Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. The Jewish people were astonished that the Gentiles, who were non-Jewish people, could receive this. As many as came with Peter, now notice this, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they're saying the Gentiles heard the word, received the word, and the Holy Ghost was poured out on them. Now let me ask you a question. How in the world would they know that the Holy Ghost was poured on them? Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Ghost on the earth or in heaven? On the earth. God and Jesus, the two-thirds of the Trinity, they're in heaven. But the one part of the Trinity that has His ministry is still on the earth is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit's here, isn't He?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen Him? What's He look like? How many of you have seen the Holy Ghost? I've never seen Him. Have you ever seen Him? Maybe you have. I've never seen Him. How many of you have ever seen the wind? You've never seen the wind. You say, yeah, I see it blowing through the trees. That's not the wind. That's the effects of the wind. You've never seen the wind. The Bible likens the Holy Ghost to a wind. It's there, but you can see the effects of it, but you can't see it. You can't see the Holy Ghost. So how did they know that the Holy Ghost was poured out on them the same way it was poured out on them, on the other people in Acts chapter 2? How did they know? Well, verse 46 tells us. For they heard them speak with tongues. Peter saying, I know they got it because they're speaking in tongues. Why? Because they go hand in hand. You can't separate the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. So then we can confidently say now that when Jesus said you receive the Spirit, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So now we get more indicator of what speaking in tongues is. It's rivers of living or Zoe, God kind of life, water that flows from you. What do natural rivers do? They flow and they irrigate the land. They make the land so the land can be prosperous and produce so people can be blessed and benefited. Well, you dry up the rivers, you dry up the water system, and the crop fields go dry and the crops can't be produced and people suffer and wallets suffer and people get malnourished and different things like that. That's what happens. Things dry up. Well, you take the Christian who doesn't, Jesus said, this is for you. This is what's going to be the flow. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And then to your finances, to your family, to your church, to your pastor, to your job. You don't have different tributaries and rivers and outlets going of living water to these things. And they're drying up.
Yeah. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, a life without the fullness and the benefits of the Holy Ghost, isn't it interesting that in Acts chapter 2, the only reason they were there in Acts chapter 2 is because the one commandment that Jesus had for them when they got born again before He ascended back up into heaven, He commanded them in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, He said, don't you dare leave until Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 happens. And what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4? Tongues was included. Amen. Jesus was saying, you can't leave until you get the ability to flow rivers of living water to every area of your life.
Amen.
The first thing He told them, go in that upper room. Don't miss out on it. You need this. And you find out through the book of Acts, when they ran into new believers, one of the first questions they asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? Since you believed? I know you became a Christian, but there's more. Have you received more? Why? They wanted the gift to be on everybody. Why? There was so much power in it.
Yes,
so much power in the speaking with tongues. See, the problem is, because the Holy Spirit has been pushed out of the church, the Father, woohoo! The Son, yee-haw! And the Holy, shh, don't talk about the Holy Ghost. You'll make people uncomfortable. Right? I mean, we get things in our mind. Oh, God, I don't want to invite people. What if Pastor prayed in tongues that day? Well, what if I did? Maybe the Holy Ghost would speak to me about somebody. Or what if Pastor preaches on tongues that day? Well, I think the Holy Ghost knows better what for me to preach on than you do.
That's right. Amen.
Right? I mean, seriously, I've had those same thoughts. Oh, man, if I bring him to Pastor Michael's service, what if Pastor Michael pulls the Pastor Michael and starts getting into that gift, you know? Well, if he does, that's what they needed. Because I trust my man of God to hear from heaven. But anyways, we've pushed the Holy Ghost out. And, you know, I need to say this. It's a little bit of a rabbit trail. It's still in line with the Holy Ghost. But my spiritual grandpa, Dr. Dufresne, he had a vision years ago about the flesh church and the spirit church. You do realize there are more flesh churches in America than spirit churches. Reverend Joel Siegel, the one that the Lord gave the word about the miracles. I was talking to him one day, and he travels all over. And he said this, he said, Pastor Mike, you don't realize how blessed the family churches have it. He goes, I go to places. You talk about fruity, flaky, and nutty. You talk about carnality. He said, you go places, and even like in certain towns that he goes to that aren't the churches that he's preaching in, he said there's churches that spring up 200-300 people within a month's time. You think, man, that's awesome. He said, but they don't ever talk about tithing. People are struggling financially. He said, they don't ever talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They know nothing about it. They never talk about holiness or doing right with your money or you know, the things that we preach on, right? The Word.
Yeah.
The Word.
Yeah.
I mean, who'd have thought? The Word. They don't preach on that stuff. And so people hear that because there's no conviction and they like that. And he said, it's amazing, but Dr. Dufresne preached about that. And he said, this is the way it'll be for the church, but it'll also be for the way for the people in those churches. He had a vision of people in a rowboat going down a riverbed, but in the riverbed there was no water. It was just the dust and the dirt. And they're rowing, and when they were rowing, it was real hard. Wouldn't that be hard to row in a dry? I mean, you get a boat on natural land, you don't row it. That's why when people are canoeing and they have to get on land, they pick that thing up. They're not sitting there on the grass and the leaves. And why, that would be hard.
Yes.
Well, that's what people were doing in that vision. And Jesus said, this is the flesh church. Well, they're in that vision, they're doing that, and they're kicking up dust when they're doing it. But life is really hard for them. But when they start kicking up the dust, they're getting excited because they're thinking that's the glory. And all it is just the dust and the smoke. It's not the glory. And life's hard for them. They're struggling, right? Struggling. But then he said, the ones that are the spirit churches, he said, they'll be in, and there'll be such a current and a flow, they'll hardly even have to row.
Yeah.
And that the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation, and life will be way easier for the... Listen, ladies and gentlemen, life will be way easier for you when you start giving heed and praying in tongues and flowing rivers of living water to all your situations.
Amen.
It will. But you know what? Because the Holy Ghost, see, we preach on this stuff, and because we do preach on it so little, and man, Lord, correct me if I need to preach on it more, but I just mean generally in the body of Christ, it's taboo. Let me just say this to you. You know why I caution you on what to listen to? You know, on mainstream, I won't even say the radio station, Dave, you're all going to know what it is anyways. There are speakers on the radio stations that we love and cherish, and listen to ministers for hours who have written books and have conferences telling you that the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, and speaking in tongues are not for today and are actually of the devil. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. If I said the name of a minister, probably every single person here would know. And this person has written books and holds conferences, and they speak against Brother Hagin in these conferences. They write in their books... I'll tell you what, that's the first sign of somebody that's not hearing from heaven when they're calling out other people in the body of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
That's why I'm not saying their name, because I know it wouldn't be right to do so. But you know who they were.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not a good person. I'm not saying they're not Christians and going to heaven. But man, they're way off in this topic. But and so we hear it so little in our backgrounds. It seems like such taboo, and oh man, that tongues and that. That to when we do preach it, we almost think it's some little part of our salvation, some little part of our walk with God, and some optional thing. You know how I know it? People think it's optional? Because I'll say when I preach on this, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, make sure you don't go forward in life until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And months later, I'll preach it, same people won't be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Not against the people, but because it's so small.
Right.
It's such a small thing. People dive in when they talk about getting saved from hell. Well, the best thing that can ever happen to you post-salvation is getting filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Best thing. It empowers you to go forward. Yeah. It helps you live a better life. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, don't get... And again, I don't know here who's filled and who's not. I've not asked people lately or checked up on it. So if I made that statement and that was you, well then take your correction and do what Jesus said. He commanded them not to go out without it. Why are you?
Right.
If they needed it, why do you think you don't?
Yeah, come on. That's good.
I'm serious. Yeah. Say, well, you know, I've tried. It's not about trying. It's about building your faith and receiving it.
Right.
And again, I have no idea who here is filled and who here is not filled. I don't know. Praise God. I'm glad I don't know because it helps me be even bolder in preaching it. But I have a witness in my heart that not everybody in here is filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I have that witness. I couldn't tell you who it isn't. But I'll tell you what. Why leave it when Jesus commanded them and he said power is going to be yours? Are you okay without power in your life? I'm not. Oh, you think you're good enough. I know you don't think this, but this is what you're saying. You think you're good enough to go out in a world run by the devil without power, yet the ones that traveled with him and were with him for 3.5 years, he said, you're not good enough to go out without this, but you are?
Wow, that's so good.
I'm just trying to help you because the powerless ones, the devil eat your lunch.
Yeah. That's right.
Life will be like kicking up the dust in the rowboat on the dry land. It'll be hard for you.
Right.
A lot harder than it needs to be. Praise God. Why, there's no life flowing. Praise God. Aren't you glad I'll tell you the truth?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, you know, I love it. I heard one, there's a, Hillsong has a song, and one of the live discs they have, and I don't like all their music. Some of the stuff I gotta chew the hay, spit out the sticks, you know, some of it's not word, but for the most part, I enjoy it. It gets my focus on God, but and at the end of one, you know, it's either during the middle or at the end, he talks about worshiping God. And he says, in when he's speaking and encouraging people, he said, now if you're comfortable, lift your hands unto heaven. When did it become about our comfort level? And it's the same thing. I'm not comfortable with tongues. Who asked you if you were comfortable? Jesus didn't say, boys and girls, if you're comfortable with this tongues business, if your mind grasps it, or if your body's okay with it, then do it. But if you're not comfortable with it, I understand. No. He said, don't leave without it. You'll be powerless.
That's right. Amen.
That's what Jesus said. It's not optional. It's not optional. It's optional if you want to live a defeated life.
Sure.
Yeah. Why would Jesus tell him, I want you to have power? Because you know, if you don't have power, you will live a defeated life.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Mike, thank you so much for helping me tonight. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for loving me so much that you'll tell me the hard things.
Thank you, Pastor.
I heard one of my favorite, I won't say the TV show or who the character is, but he said this. He was being interviewed, and he said, and he's the character, he's wrong a lot of times, and he thinks he's right, but he said this. He said, a good doctor wouldn't tell somebody if they have cancer. He thought, because he was saying about he was going to have to break bad news to people. And so he was thinking, oh, it's better if I just don't break the bad news to people. He said, oh, a good doctor wouldn't tell people they have cancer. Well, we know a good doctor would absolutely tell the person they have cancer. A bad shepherd is going to hold back the things that have the opportunity to make you mad at me and empty these seats. That's what a bad shepherd would do. But a good shepherd says, don't care who's in the seats. I'm just going to preach the Bible. And the ones that latch on to the word will be the blessed ones.
Amen. Praise God.
That's the truth. Praise God. So, rivers of living water. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14. We're not going to spend much time here. We're almost done. So Jesus said, they that believe on him shall receive the Holy Ghost, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Praise God. What's the rivers of living water? Speaking in tongues.
Amen.
That's the flow. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Now notice this. So, if there is rivers of living water and they're beneficial, the Bible should tell us some of the benefits. We're not going to look at them all. We're just going to look at actually just a couple things here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, what is that? For he that has the rivers of living water flowing from his belly. Why? That's where it originates. Why? Because that's where your spirit is. And remember, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, where's the Spirit located? Here. The Spirit gave their spirit utterance. They spoke in tongues. It came up, and it flowed like a river. Praise God. So he that speaks in an unknown tongue, which comes from your belly, with what? The Spirit speaking to your spirit, then you flow it out. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Would you pull up verse 2 in the Amplified, please? Mysteries. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning. Because he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Is that the end of that verse? Or does it go on? In the Amplified, okay, sometimes it goes on. I want to look at real quick Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Mysteries. Mysteries. Are mysteries things you know or don't know?
Don't know.
Well, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, we'll pull that up. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. What does that sound like? A mystery.
Yes.
Now, praise God. I want to check something here real quick before I go on. And I'm going to pull my handy-dandy little iPad up here for something. Praise his name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And let's see here. I think it's this, but I want to make sure. In the Amplified, it says, call to me and I'll answer you. Now, so we can say things that you don't know are mysteries. Well, listen to what they are. Great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish, do not recognize, have knowledge of and understand. So now go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2 in the King James. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, where is tongues flowing from? Where does it start? The belly, right? Starts in the spirit, in the belly. From the Holy Ghost to your spirit. Now, what did we get done saying in the beginning of this sermon? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Proverbs 20 and verse 27 said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So we know God leads us by our spirit man, which is located in our belly. If we speak in tongues, we're speaking or revealing mysteries that originated from our hearts that were told to us by the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what I'm saying. If you didn't follow all that, I'll just make it clear. The way that I, Brother Hagin, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Michael, you name it, down the line, they all say the same thing. The way that I've been led into and away from things more than any other way in my life, supernaturally, has been through praying in tongues. The most revelation, the most insight, the most direction, the most warnings, the most encouragement, the most do this, stay away from this, this is up ahead, the most revealing things of my future have come as a result of praying in tongues. Why? Because when I'm praying in tongues, the Spirit who knows everything is bearing witness to my spirit. I'm therefore letting it flow like a river, and out of my mouth is coming mysteries. And they're being enlightened unto me. In August of 2009, I was working for Jim and Sue in their cherry orchards. That day I was picking up brush, and I was working by myself that day. And I think that day, I'm pretty sure if I remember right, I worked from 8 to 5 that day. Because that day stands out to me, of course. But I had my headphones and my little MP3 player. I didn't have an iPod at that time. It was just a little MP3 player. And I had worship music on. And so the whole day was spent worshiping God, but majority of the time, for 8 to 9 hours, I was spent just praying in tongues, picking up the brush, throwing it in the back of the trailer that was on the tractor, going and dumping it over the bank, going back and doing it some more, just all day by myself, praying in tongues. And as I was praying in tongues, I was speaking out mysteries from the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, it dropped in me. I had a knowing, and in my heart, it dropped in me. Why? The Spirit will lead me, right? Well, the way you're going to be led the most by the Spirit of God is through speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, it's just the truth. It dropped in me that next year, which would have been 2010, in the fall of 2010, you will start a church and pastor a church in South Dayton, New York. Let me tell you something, that was awesome. Amen?
Amen?
Now, here's why that was so wonderful. Because I didn't even know how to get to South Dayton. I knew where it was, but when I found out how to get there, I came here, and I wondered, what in the world are you doing calling me here, first of all? Because I knew that we'd have to have a church building to meet in, and there was no church building to meet in. But here's where the people that follow the Holy Ghost benefit that other people don't. Number one, I got a leading from God, which means He's going to back the whole thing. He's going to fund the whole thing. He's going to provide for the whole thing. I knew that, so that helped my faith. But also, I need my faith. He needs my faith to cooperate with it. I would come here, and naturally, I've been here late at night, and I'm not kidding you. I feel like late at night, like I've been here real late at night, like between 1 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I've been here, and I go out to my truck, and I seriously feel like I'm in a movie of an old ghost town. I mean, seriously, I'm like, is there any life around here? I think I'm the only one. I've wondered, did the rapture happen and I missed it? Because I'm here and no one else is. I mean, it's eerily quiet here around those times. And so when I would come here, even when it's the hustle and bustle of the day, there's not a whole lot going on in the natural. And it tend to weigh on you, but I knew it was God, and He gave me a year in advance to get my faith directed on that thing. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I literally did. I would come here because it looked so grim, the prospects of having a church here. You know, we think now it's beautiful, but this wasn't here. There was a dingy old storefront that I'll tell you how much I liked it. I walked out after 5 minutes. She was with me and my mom were with me. I said, that ain't the place. And there ain't nowhere else to look, so I don't know what you're going to do, Lord. I seriously thought we were going to have a wilderness ministry. John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness. I said, there's wilderness. Maybe that's what you called me to, Lord. And so, nothing against it. I love small country towns. I'm not speaking against it. I'm just stating the facts. And so, I would come into the town, and as soon as I'd hit the limits, city limits, right? Yeah. Anyways, I would say this. I'd say, Lord, You parted the Red Sea. You'll give us a building. Because it seemed like just about the same level of miracle. To me, You're going to give me a building in South Dayton. I mean, my God, You parted the Red Sea. You certainly can do this. That's why I said He did. He did and it did and we did and here we are. Praise God. But the point was, how'd that come? Through praying in tongues. You know, there's times you have to get over yourself. I was in a parking lot with an orange vest on, praying in tongues, praying out mysteries for my life, consecrating my life to God in that parking lot. Well, I knew I was called to preach, but I didn't know what that meant. Now, I'm just going to tell you, my pastor says this about me, and I need to tell you this because it'll benefit you to be this way. He says I'm one of his most honorable sons that he has, and I do it. I endeavor to be honorable to him in every area of his life. That's what the way he introduces me to almost every new guest minister. This is Pastor Mike's one of the most honorable sons I have. I make sure to honor him. I have great regard for my pastor. Why? I know the connection that I have to him. Now you say, oh, you're just saying that so I honor you. No, you do what the Bible says. I'm just telling you as an example what I do for my shepherd, and it's greatly benefited my life. Amen? And by the way, if there's anything I've erred on in this church, I'm just going to say it because there's unction to say it, is talking about honoring the shepherd. I have talked so little on it in this church for fear of people taking it wrong, but there's something to it. There's something to it. There's a great benefit and a great blessing that I've received from honoring my shepherd. Listen, you're not my blessing. You're not my supply. I'm not looking for anything out of people. But I'll tell you what, there's something to honoring that which God has put in your life. It's just the truth, amen? It's not easy at times to talk about that stuff, but who else is going to tell you? If dad can't sit down and have a family talk, right, then, you know, I'll tell you what, if I'm the dad of my household, I'm not going to call somebody else in to come and have tough talks with my family. I'm going to tell the family myself, amen? But anyways, I'm very honorable. What I mean by that is I hold him in such high regard that when the Spirit of God said what he said to me as I was praying in tongues, it dropped in my heart. You're going to pastor someday. I thought, there's no way I'm going to pastor someday. My pastor is the example that I had in my life as a true shepherd. I said, there's no way I can do what he does. There's no way I can step into that which he stepped into. Yet the Holy Ghost said so. So what do I have to do? Work on myself. See, sometimes God will show you the future because you need to work on yourself. You got to get, God wants to lead you into some things sometimes, but you're going to have to get over yourself. It's called enlarging yourself. You know, so many people come out of being beat down with words, being told they're this and that. You better start enlarging yourself to believe you're worthy, to believe you're special, to believe you have a calling, to believe that you have a gift, to believe that you can help people. Amen. And if you don't, it's going to be hard for God to get some things into you because I'll tell you what, the immediate reaction was push back. In fact, so much so that weeks later, I had a dinner with him at Ruby Tuesdays. He asked me at Ruby Tuesdays, I knew the Spirit of God was telling him stuff. He asked me at Ruby Tuesdays, he said, what's God been talking to you about, Mike? Because I wasn't Pastor Mike then. I said, oh, not much. I was afraid to tell him. I put the brakes on. Why? I needed to get over myself. And he said to me, what do you feel like you're called to? I said, oh, probably evangelism. I was lying to him. I knew what the Spirit of God had said to me. I mean, I knew I heard from heaven. And he said, oh, that's interesting. So we ate, he came back to my house, and I think he had dessert and coffee or something. We're sitting there again, he smacks me on the leg like he always does. He said, so what's God calling you to? And I was kind of mad because I wanted to get rid of this question. Don't ask me. I don't want to tell you. Because I was embarrassed. Why? Because I needed to get over myself. Right. Yeah, praise God. And so I said to him, I said, well, he's called me to evangelist. It hasn't changed since I went from Ruby Tuesdays to here. I didn't say that. I did not say that to him. But I thought it. I'm like, only a 5-minute drive, Pastor. God didn't change. He said, oh, hit me again. He said, what's God calling you to? Well, I knew. At that time. See, at first he was fishing, but he was about to get out the spear. Yeah. You can fish with a line and a hook and won't hurt as bad, or you could get speared. Yeah. I thought, you know, I don't want to get speared. I've been speared by him before. I'll pass. Yeah. I said, okay. I was praying in tongues in the parking lot of the Jamestown Church, the building that sits out front, which is now the youth center and where they have MTC at. I said, I was praying out there in the parking lot. I've been praying out there for weeks. Just telling the Lord, I'll do whatever you want. If you want me to be a parking lot attendant the rest of my life, I'll be the best one that's ever walked the face of this earth. I said, I've known I've been called to preach, Pastor. And I said, I am sorry to say this. And this is how I went. I mean, I was so sheepish about it. I said, I am so sorry to say this to you. I feel dumb even telling someone like you this. I said, but the Holy Spirit told me, when I was praying in tongues, it dropped in my heart that I'm going to be a pastor. And he pointed at me and got serious. He said, you've heard from God. And I'll tell you what, that meant the world. Amen? Amen. But what the Holy Ghost did by speaking out that mystery was I got my faith on myself to start renewing my mind that, yep, I can do it. Yep, I have the gift in me to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Same way it came for me to quit my job and pastor full time, praying in other tongues. Same way things, different mysteries come. The greatest way, remember, they're going to be led by the Spirit. are the ones that are going to be led into the blessing. Well, see, when you pray in tongues, what is praying in tongues? It's giving the spirit realm activity. We've spent far too much time in the mental arena praying mental prayers when we have this treasure that allows us to speak forth mysteries and have things revealed and have God lead you that way because He leads by the Spirit. So the more spiritual activity you have, the more leadings you're going to have, the more leadings you're going to have, the more blessings you're going to walk into.
Amen.
When you have a minister like Brother Hagin, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Michael, Smith Wigglesworth, Lester Summerall, myself. I mean, I'm your pastor. I got to throw myself in there. I mean, I'm not saying I'm on their category, but I'm your shepherd. So you're stuck with me. Praise the Lord. When you have people like that telling you that, what's available for your life? What's been missing because you haven't given that time? You haven't given that realm first place. It's just, it's optional. When we pray at church after service, I'll pray for 5-10 minutes in tongues. Oh, come on, people. The more spiritual activity you have, the more God's going to be able to lead you, because the more you pray in tongues, the more you become sensitive to that realm. He's not leading you through your goosebumps. He's not leading you through the hair sticking up on your body. He's not leading you through tears. He's not leading you through cold chills. He's not leading you through your thoughts. He's leading you in the spirit realm. You pray in tongues a lot, that realm becomes magnified. That realm becomes you become sensitive to that realm. That's the realm He leads you from. So when He's trying to guide you, because He's not a forceful guide, trying to guide you into a new job, trying to guide you to investment, that realm will be so sensitized to you, you'll know what to do. You'll know where to go. You'll know the voice. Why do so many people say, I don't know if it's the voice of God or the voice of myself? You're too carnal. You're too mental. You spend hours busy, hours just feeding the flesh naturally, TV, recreation, no spent time with God. But the problem with that is He's leading not in the mental realm, not in the physical realm. He's leading in the spirit realm. So we got to give time to the spirit realm.
Amen.
Praying much in other tongues. Smith Wigglesworth likened everything that he did to praying in tongues. Everything. He said, I owe it all to speaking in tongues. Other ministers have said that's the doorway into the supernatural. Praise God. Brother Hagin said the reason he was able to walk into prosperity was from praying in other tongues. Pastor Nancy Dufresne has said her whole life turned around by getting connected with Dr. Dufresne when she spent prolonged times praying in other tongues. Why? She gave heed to that spirit realm, speaking forth mysteries, rivers of living water, springing up life into the dead things. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you with this as I close. Make time for it. Make time for it. Make adjustments, right? I mean, it's kind of like, I was talking with Vinny different things about working out. One of the things he shared is that when people are getting started on a workout program, one of the problems they do is they try to hang the moon in one day, right? They'll work out for 2 hours and be so sore they don't want to do it again, or they'll get rid of all the bad food and they'll fall off the wagon real easy. Well, that's the way it is with prayer. You hear a message like this, and in your mind you think, oh, God, I got to go home and pray for 2 hours to get anything. No, you don't. Make small adjustments. I mean, imagine right now if you're not praying any time at all in tongues, and if you just prayed 10 minutes of faith tongues, like putting your faith in it, 10 minutes a day times 365 days, at the end of a year, you'd have prayed out more mysteries, had more rivers of living water than the year before. I'm not saying minimize it to 10 minutes or you have to get to 10 minutes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying 10 minutes of setting a stopwatch is not very hard in our lives. If we would do that, or what if we add, this is really going to blow your mind. But hold the seat now. I'm serious. Hold your seat because you might just faint or something. Ushers, be ready to pick people up. What if you dared to actually believe the Bible that when you pray in tongues, you're praying out mysteries, and verse 4 says you're edifying yourself. Why wouldn't we be edifying yourself? You're edifying everything in your life. You're setting yourself up for success. Of course you're edifying yourself. What if you actually believed that mysteries would be prayed out, that God would speak to you in a greater measure by doing that? What if you actually would shut the TV off and instead of that time when you're sitting there, not against TV, not against it, not saying get rid of your TV, don't misunderstand me and jump in that ditch. But what if you actually shut it off and instead spent that time in the spirit realm? What do you think would profit you more? I'm just telling you. What do you think would profit you more? Absolutely. Again, not saying get rid of your TVs, not saying throw out all the things you like to do, not saying don't go to the golf course, but I'm just saying, what if you actually dared to believe the Bible and actually gave praying in tongues time? You wouldn't regret it. You wouldn't regret it, amen? So it's up to you to make adjustments. If you're not filled, it's up to you to get filled. We're going to actually exercise this tonight and pray for just 5 or 10 minutes. We've gone a little longer, so we won't take too long. We're gonna pray in tongues. Now, if you're here and you've not been filled, come forward. We had a young girl last night. I think the mom posted something on Facebook about it. You should go on there and look at it. Her daughter came up. Her daughter, who was suicidal a year ago, came up. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues last night in Olean. And I preached along the same lines. This was different. In the beginning, it was a lot different here. God had me go a different direction there last night. But if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, come on forward. We'll lay hands on you. Ask God. 1 second, Debbie. Are you coming forward? Pray. Well, come forward. Yeah, you come right on forward. Who else? I mean, I like that faith. I'm not going to make her wait. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive the Holy Ghost before we close here tonight? Hallelujah. If you say, I'm scared. Don't be scared. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Everybody else, let's just begin to worship God. Begin to praise God. I'm going to address Debbie here one-on-one in a second like I did that young girl. But that young girl got filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, my God, don't let tonight pass you by. Hallelujah. Now, if you're here tonight and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, just begin to pray in tongues. Just begin to lift your voice. If you're here and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, just begin to worship God. I'm going to turn my mic off here and just talk to you one-on-one.